I want to deal with this thought tonight, if God would help me, when God hid the Son. When God hid the Son. And that is a twofold application. We do know that the S-U-N was hid, but also the S-O-N, and that's where I want to focus at tonight. If Jesus be left out, then it'd do man no good. But he did say if I'd be lifted up, that he would draw all men unto himself. And the only thing I know that man needs more than the next breath is the only begotten Son of God. So there's some things I want you to see tonight as we look at Calvary. And as we look around, I describe this as the scenes of Calvary. What's happening at Calvary? What's going on? What is taking place? What is about to take place tonight with the darling Lamb of God? This place of Calvary, first I want to describe the scenes that surround it. Calvary was known in the Scriptures as the place called Golgotha, the place of the skull, or the place of skulls, if you will. It was a place just located outside the gate of Jerusalem. A place upon a hill was described as a place of the skull. Several things we could say about Golgotha tonight. There lay bones around of people that had been executed, and they lay all around that place. That was the trophies of death's victory over the children of men. The place where criminals were sacrificed to the justice of their government. Now our Lord will be sacrificed to the justice of God. A lot of things there that we see around Calvary. The place of Calvary. Then the people of Calvary. It wasn't a lonely place. There was many people there for the Passover. A great multitude overrun the city in that day to celebrate the Passover. The Scripture tells us that there are several groups that could be found around Calvary. When we read our text, we remember that not only was the scribes there, the chief priests were there, the elders, the Bible says his acquaintances were there, the soldiers were there, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Mary the mother of James, the mother of Zebedee's children, and besides, Luke says a great company followed him to the cross. Many more that I have left out tonight that we could find in the reading that were there at Calvary. And they will pass by in review and take notice of the Son of God. Many will revile him. Many will rail him. Some will just stand and weep over what's taking place. Then we'll notice that besides either thief on the either side of the cross, there's Jesus in the midst. It's a horrific scene. I really can't describe it to you, but I want you to get an idea that it is a place that is very crowded. Many people have come to see the crucifixion. The religious elite, if you will, are there, making a mockery of sacred things. But I want to go in a different direction. I don't want to just look at the scenes of Calvary and see the place and see the people, but I want you to notice something about the sayings that were from the cross. And we read those a while ago in the readings found in the three Gospels. And I'm not going to elaborate on those or belabor those sayings. But the reason I want you to see the sayings was because I want you to see what time frame they were said in. When we read through Luke a while ago, Luke 23:34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus was there on the cross from the third hour to the ninth hour. 6 hours. This saying here, when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them," was in the third hour. Probably at the beginning of the third hour. Luke also tells us where he talked to one of the thieves. Remember? The thief said, "Lord, remember me when thou enterest in thy kingdom." He said a 9-word sentence. Jesus answered him with a 9-word answer. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That saying took place around the 6th hour. John 19:26, the Lord said, "Woman, behold thy son." He saith to his disciple, "Behold thy mother." That took place between the 3rd and the 6th hour. You say, why is that important? I want you to see something here in just a minute. John 19:28, Jesus said, "I thirst." That took place about the 9th hour. John 19:30, Jesus said, "It is finished." That took place about the 9th hour. Luke 23:46, the Lord said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." That was at the 9th hour. So the seven sayings from the cross were uttered between the third and the ninth. But there is a period of time between the sixth hour and the last of the ninth hour that nothing was said. Jesus uttered the sayings at the beginning of the crucifixion and at the end. And there's a reason that I want you to see what's going on between this time period there. God had turned out the lights. Several reasons why God did that. As far as I can tell in reading, unless I've overlooked it somewhere, as I said, there's nothing that has been said from the sixth to the ninth hour. Silence, as far as I can tell. But during this time, the religious leaders had 3 hours to inspect and to witness what was going on at Calvary. As we go back in the reading, you'll remember they passed by in review. They mocked the Son of God. They blasphemed the Son of God. They railed on Him. They reviled Him. They made fun of Him. They tempted Him. But there comes a time. The Bible said at the sixth hour, it was dark. Well, that's 12 o'clock, noon. And God turned out the lights until the ninth hour. Total darkness. Silence and nothing said. Darkness, nothing seen. And I don't want to try to conjecture anything, but I want to try to understand some things, and you'll have to realize as well as I do and will that some things are just a mystery that we won't understand on this side until we get home. Will God make it manifest and make it plain to us? At the sixth hour, God had turned out the light. By the way, this is not an ordinary darkness. It's not an eclipse. Because we are at the time of Passover, the time of a full moon. It was an extraordinary darkness. I could say that it might be as the darkness that was in Egypt that could be felt. It could be as the cloud that the Lord had brought between the children of Israel and the army of Egypt. They had light. Egypt had nothing but darkness. I don't know. God knows. But it was total darkness. We know that. An extraordinary light gave the announcement of His birth, and an extraordinary light notified us or the world of His death. Darkness, nothing seen. Now God had stopped all the day's activities by bringing darkness over the earth when the sun was at its highest. What an eclipse. It was dark. Couldn't see anything. There's a fellow, his name is Dionysus. He was at Heliopolis in Egypt, I believe is how you say that. Took notice of the darkness and made this statement. He said, either the God of nature is suffering or the machine of this world is tumbling into ruin. This darkness had never happened before. It was unusual. It was out of character, out of order. The unusual in lower nature is made to consort with the unusual in the dealings with nature's Lord. It's not a normal crucifixion. It's a supernatural one. All is dark. A veil has concealed the sun so it cannot shine to allow men to mock the only begotten Son. And I've often wondered why, and God knows, there's some things that I don't understand. But as I try to study and try to read and learn some things, I realize this. Darkness was a symbol of the wrath of God, which fell on those who slew His only begotten Son. But I notice this, they did not repent in the darkness, but went on to reject Christ, which proves that men are blind, men are ignorant, we are bewildered, and we love darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil. So I don't understand a lot of things. Something's taking place in the darkness that mankind knows nothing about and cannot see. Just as the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, it was him and God, and that was it. Man couldn't see. what was going on. What was happening when God hid the sun? And I offer these as a question. Was God putting a stop to the scoffers and the mockers that railed on him? Was there a great conflict that was taking place that the natural eye could not see? Yes. Was the Godhead concealing the supernatural event from the eyes of wicked men who could not or should not even grasp with their own finite mind what was taking place in their behalf? Nothing said. Nothing seen. Then I notice this that's found in John 9, 4 and 5. Jesus said this, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Then Jesus said this, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Maybe God was signifying the light of the world is getting ready to leave this earth. Jesus was ready to give up the ghost. A horrific scene took place in that day and in that hour when God turned out the lights and hid the sun. But notice something now. At the close of the crucifixion, at the close of Calvary's darkness, just before God pulled back the veil and light shines forth again, something happened. Christ cried one last time in victory. It wasn't a cry of weakness. It was not a cry of frailty. But the Bible said that he cried with a loud voice, it is finished. Proving that man did not take his life from him, but that he laid it down willingly when he died upon the cross. But also something else took place. Not only was his life whole within him, but the Bible said that the veil was rent in twain, which offered to you and I a new and living way. The Bible said that the earth quaked, that it trembled under the load, a mighty shock, if you will, a fatal blow to the devil's kingdom. The Bible said that the rocks were rent. Nothing like that had happened before. The centurion said in several different places, truly or surely this was the Son of God. His cry, it was finished. He fulfilled his priestly office under the veil of darkness. Whatever took place in the darkness, whatever was going on between God the Father and God the Son, he cried, it is finished. And God turned midnight into day again and brought back to this world a reign of light which never shall come to a close. So I don't understand all that took place there at Calvary that day. And I don't know, and there's some things we'll probably never know, and it's a great mystery. But we do know that when God turned the light out, there was darkness in silence. Nobody said anything. Nobody done anything. The God of this world, the Savior, the great I Am, was laying down his life that you and I might have life. It's a great mystery. I know the Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin, that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Somehow or another that transpired during that time. I don't know how it did. I just know that it did because the Bible says that he done that for you and me. It's a great mystery. Done a marvelous work. God the Father and God the Son made an eternal agreement before the foundation of the world that Jesus would die. Amen. And that he would live again. And he's alive forevermore. It's a great mystery. It's a great work. It's a great wonder as we think about what God had done for you and I. Amen. It's a great witness that God himself had witnessed to that and testified to that fact that he was pleased with his Son. Whatever was done in that darkness in that hour, and I don't know everything what took place, but I do know that it pleased the Father. And he was satisfied. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and let you and I know and let that crowd know. And they didn't realize it in that day. And some still don't realize it now. that the work that he came to do and that he did upon Calvary, he came to die. He was born to die. And the work that he done was finished. And he cried that the world might know it is finished. It's finished. God hid the Son. But I conclude today to tell you, he's alive forevermore. He's able and he's willing to save your soul. But you'll have to come to him. He's done all he's going to do. He made a way at Calvary. He sent the Spirit of God to come and deal with our hearts. He sent the Word of God. He sent the man of God to proclaim the Word of God. Now it's up to you. You sit here tonight longing for something that you just can't seem to grasp. Looking for something that just will not seem to satisfy. You haven't found it yet. Can I offer you tonight the Lord Jesus Christ? I promise he will satisfy. Amen. Amen. You want to live tonight? You want to have life? It'll only come through him. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. You can have life tonight. You can experience joy tonight. You can experience peace tonight. You can experience happiness tonight. And you can experience fulfillment tonight through our Lord Jesus Christ. But you'll have to come to him. Jesus died in your place that you might go free. He said, how much did he love me? He loved you this much. As he spread out his arms and gave up his life on Calvary. Will you not trust him tonight? Some of my family's listening tonight by way of internet. They need the Lord. 21 years I've tried to tell them about Jesus. 21 years I've tried to show them who Jesus is. 21 years I've told my friends. Chucky's here tonight, one of my friends from years gone by. Him and his brother and his family, I grew up with them. Known him for a long time. When I got saved, it wasn't long, I went to Chucky and told Chucky about Jesus. Every time I seen his brother Mike, I told him about Jesus. Your brother was at a drug rehab years and years ago. Told him about Jesus. I took him a Bible. This a long time ago. See, what the world needs is Jesus. And God uses you and I to tell them. Jesus is the answer.